Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. This is Robert Lamb.
And Seth Nicholas Johnson.
That's right. Joe is still out on parental leave, and we're still doing listener mail. And since we have a few bits of listener mail in this one that have to do with an episode of Weird House Cinema that Seth joined me for, I decided, well, we should have Seth in here on this episode of listener mail as well.
Happy to join.
All right, well, let's jump right into the mailbag here. We're going to kick off with one that's another bit of goat listener mail. The goat mail keeps coming, and it should keep coming. This one comes to us from Chris from Chicago. Hi, Robert, Seth, and Joe in absentia. Congratulations on the new arrival. I have been ruminating on this email since the first goat episode. I was surprised by all of the goat lore and history across so many cultures. One culture of goat content that I enjoy is beer culture, more specifically German beer culture. Bock beer is a staple of old world brewing styles. Here is a link to a quick summary. And they included a link that goes to a brewery. And yes, there's some posters and images and some labels that definitely feature goats with large curling horns. Chris continues. From the webpage, quote, Bock originated in the northern German city of Einbeck, probably as far back as the 1400s. By the 1600s, it was being brewed in the Munich area of southern Germany. The name Einbeck was pronounced as Einbock in the Bavarian accent of the region, and Einbock means billy goat.
Ah, never knew that. Yeah.
With that being said, a quick Google search will find you a plethora of goat and beer label images. One of my favorite Bock styles is that of the Doppelbock, or double Bock, slightly darker, maltier, and higher in ABV. My favorite example of the style is Eyinger Celebration. Hmm. They include a link to this. I'm clicking on it. It's pulling up the image slowly from Germany. And it's kind of stalling it. No, it's back. Okay. Yes. All right. I see this wonderful label here with a giant... It's either a giant frothing grail of beer, or it is a very small one. or I don't know, or maybe it's regular size and the goats are small, but there are two horned goats on either side, sort of dancing or rearing up against the beer.
Well, if it's a double bock, you need double the goats. Makes sense.
Double the goat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does look delicious. It looks almost like a root beer float, but
yeah,
I think I prefer a root beer to an actual beer. So maybe it's just where my mind wants to go.
And now Chris continues here. One of my favorite American and local breweries, Revolution Brewing, here in Chicago, has a seasonal beer called Baphomet, a bock beer coming in at 6.66% ABV and featuring a great label with a rendition of the Goat of Mendes, featuring some additional beer-specific changes. Please see the attached.
That's wonderful. A 6.66 ABV, and the beer is called Baphomet. That's hilarious. Round of applause for them.
And I'm pulling up a link to this here to see the cover. And, oh yes, this is very nice. I'm not really a beer person, but if offered one of these, I might have to try it out just because it has a very, very metal looking label on it. Very nice. Yeah, I'm looking at the image here, and at first I was thinking, is this an artichoke floating over the goat's head?
I'm going to guess it's probably a hop. I'm not a brewmaster, but I believe hops look similar to artichokes, especially if it's zoomed in. So once again, we're getting into the idea of scale, just like with the previous label. Is this a very large hop or a very small Baphomet?
I don't know. Either way, though, great label. I applaud it.
I'm also not entirely sure what a hop is. Do you think you know? Like, I know it's like a barley thingamajig, but like is it the flour? I genuinely don't know.
I'm very ignorant on beer.
Yeah, ditto. No, I am. I've been straight edge for like, holy cow, over a decade. I literally mm-hmm. can't remember the last time I had alcohol. So yeah, sorry. These are beautiful labels, though.
Beer is also something that I don't think Joe and I have covered on the show before as a devoted, like that how-to of beer or the invention of beer and so forth. The beer comes up now and again, but we've never really done an episode that dives into it. That would be interesting to do in the future, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chris winds it up here with, thank you for all the consistently great content, Chris from Chicago.
All right, our next message is from Keith, goes as thus. I listened to your conversation about anti-witchcraft practices this week, and the part about shoes made me think of this meme. That is all. Enjoy. Memes are, of course, visual, but I'll explain them to the audience here. We have the image of, let's see, it looks like the end of a bench or a bed, and we have two boots sitting on the floor. Looks like two Doc Martens. And they're very widely spaced apart, like got to be at least, what, 2.5-3 feet as the two boots mm-hmm. are sitting on the ground spaced apart. And this is the text on said meme. I leave my shoes far apart, so if a burglar comes in, they think I'm big AF.
Ah.
Fair. Absolutely. Yeah. And this does make sense. There is something, going back to that episode that you did, it was the interview where it was about things found in the walls, whether it be, shoes, et cetera, et cetera. And man, there is something spooky about a shoe by itself. I have no idea mm-hmm. why it is. I perhaps maybe like gives us like the vibe of like an invisible person or something. Maybe it's got something to do with like just the amount of life that goes into an average pair of shoes, that it is like even more so than like something like a hat or a shirt or even something like a pair of jeans. A pair of shoes really has gone places with a person, so it does feel almost like a fingernail or something.
Yeah, there is something strange about finding the one shoe mm. if you're out on a walk, be it in an urban or rural environment. Of course, there are various traditions with the throwing of the lace together shoes over a power line or a telephone wire or a tree branch and so forth.
This is all from that Brian Hoggard episode recently. People should listen to it if they haven't. My favorite part from that interview, something that's so obvious, but I never thought about until it was said aloud in that episode, the idea that shoes were not made for left or right feet. You just made shoe. And it was just mm-hmm. you wore two shoe, and ultimately it would form to your foot. And perhaps that's why the idea of Cinderella's you know, shoe fitting her perfectly was such like an individual notion. And it's like, oh, of course, because like, you know, I've heard that story a million times in my life, and I thought so many people are going to fit into that shoe if it's just a shoe. But no, if it really was like, you know, her like old leather shoe that had magically turned into this glass slipper, then no, it would be like exactly her foot. It would be like a glove, not to, you know, confuse my articles of clothing here.
Yeah, no, this is a great point. Yeah, because the leather shoe obviously is this thing that's already kind of flesh, and then it slowly becomes more in tune with your body. But yeah, I didn't even think about the Cinderella comparison here, but I think that's right on there.
It makes that story feel a bit more concrete than it used to in my head by adding that extra little wrinkle of like, no, shoes weren't like shoes now. Shoes were these very specific things that fit only your feet.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a layer to it that definitely would have spoken to people in olden times when they heard the story, read the story, or had the story told to them.
I also bet, because, you know, I mean, here we are in the modern age, a couple of pairs of shoes that I buy regularly, a standard pair of Converse high tops and a standard pair of Doc Marten boots, just two pairs of shoes that I always have on hand. You know, you got to wear them in for a couple of days, and those are modern, made for left, made for right shoes. I can't imagine how long it took to wear in a pair of shoes that were two nondescript, just pieces of formerly cow flesh. You know, like I can't even imagine.
Yeah, that episode definitely had me thinking more and more about shoe placement in the house. Like my household is a shoes off once you enter the house household. So we have all the shoes lined up in trays right when you enter the house. And so after that interview, I kept thinking about it when I'd look over and see all those shoes and think of them collecting demons. And weirdly enough, it was either right about the same time we recorded this or a little afterwards, our cat started sleeping on the shoes.
Ah.
So now sleeping on the shoes is one of her favorite spots that she'll, you know, get around to during the course of her travels through the house in the day. And she'll sleep for hours on the shoes.
Well, the next time you take off your shoes in your house, do like this meme says and leave your shoes far apart. So if a burglar comes in, they think you're big AF.
Yeah, there you go. All right, now we're going to get into some of the Weird House listener mail. And this is delightful because at least a couple of them have to do with our discussion of Alice. This first one comes to us from Joe. Joe writes in and says the following. Dear Robert and Seth, first of all, hearty congratulations to Joe, our Joe, on the new baby. Best wishes to the family. This is a little off tangent, but after seeing the weird puppets in Alice, 1988, I feel the need to tell you about some other weird and maybe awesome puppets, particularly the puppets in Pee Lee, a puppet series that started in 1988 and hasn't ended yet. Yes, you heard that right. The show is still ongoing. There are some 2,600 episodes and counting. I don't know if this number includes the multiple spinoffs that are supposedly set in the same universe that follow different characters, but I'm a little afraid to find out.
That's even longer than The Simpsons. It's because The Simpsons was 89. So this predates The Simpsons and is still going.
Oh, wow.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be up there for like longest puppet show on the air in general.
Has to be. Yeah.
They continue. The show is produced by P. Lee International Multimedia, Taiwan, and in my opinion, has some really beautiful puppets. Unfortunately, the main series is in Taiwanese Hokkien, and the subs are in traditional Chinese, so they're pretty inaccessible to anyone who can't read traditional Chinese. However, the 2016 collaboration with Good Smile, Thunderbolt Fantasy, has English subs on YouTube. Hmm. The show is a Chinese CNCA series, which revolves around cultivation, Taoism, flying around, super secret manuals and techniques, flashy attacks, big swords, and lots of instances of honor being impugned, then avenged. They also have a YouTube channel and has a ton of edits and compilations. They've come a long way since the 1990s, and I hope you get a kick out of seeing the difference in cinematics. Thanks for reading.
These are beautiful. I'm looking at these right now, and not only are the like primary figures, like there seem to be some humanoid-esque figures, But man, I'm seeing some creatures here. Like, wow, there's like this giant bear-like creature with antlers that is so beautiful looking.
Yeah, yeah, I'm glancing at some of this footage as well. An epic sword fight here, battle on the shores of the Styx. This is amazing looking.
Yeah, the one I'm talking about is Demigod, The Legend Begins, and it looks gorgeous. Yeah, anyway, thanks for sending this in to us.
Yes, absolutely. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. A-S-T-E-P-R-O allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
The Home Depot wants every mom to have their own outdoor oasis this Mother's Day. Whether that be a new space to relax or a beautiful garden upgrade, at the Home Depot, you can give mom a gift that's as unique as she is, with a stylish and comfortable place to entertain or relax for the mom who does it all. And with convenient delivery, you won't have to stress over getting it to her either. Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers for the mom who's great with gardening? Let mom's green thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens with the Home Depot's Mother's Day Savings Event happening now. Get Vigoro Potting Soil, just $8.97, for strong, healthy, vibrant plants indoors and outside. Start your Mother's Day shopping and saving today by checking out the Home Depot's extensive selection online at homedepot.com or directly in-store near you with convenient pickup and delivery options. See homedepot.com/delivery for details. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, next up we have a message from Tantry. They write the following. Hey guys, love the show as always. I wanted to let you know about the tarts in Svenkmar's Alice. Those are poppy seed kolaches? Is that, you think that's the correct pronunciation?
Kolaches, maybe?
Yeah, or kolaches?
Yeah.
Spelled K-O-L-A-C-H-E-S, just in case you at home are wondering and want to look these up. I'll say kolaches for now, just going phonetically. Kolaches are the most quintessential of all Czech pastries, and poppy seed is the most Czech filling. Poppy seed. We did not say poppy seed, but now that we're saying it out loud, I can definitely see poppy seed. So that's interesting. Yes. Thank you for clearing up this mystery for us. So, continue with the message. Sometimes they are topped with streusel, or sometimes, like an Alice, with almonds. So there we go.
There we go.
Yeah.
We had a big discussion about what these were, if they were teeth, etc.
Whether or not they were just mud filled with baby teeth. But no, yeah. Poppy seed with almonds. Back to the message. It's funny that without context, they do come off looking rather unappetizing in the film, particularly in a film where everything edible is made to look upsetting, especially since in context, they're the only thing in the film that seems like it's supposed to be delicious. Then they sent us an example image, and you're absolutely correct. This looks wonderful. I would absolutely take a bite of this. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Well, out of the context of Jans Funkmeyer's Alice, this looks rather delicious. So yeah, I'm glad to find out exactly what this was supposed to be. And yes, Tantri makes some great points too about you could basically put anything, any food item in its place in Alice, and you would be a little suspicious of it, if only because it might contain thumbtacks in the context of Alice.
Yeah, yeah. Because if this and as far as I can tell, this is one for one exactly what is in this movie. I mean, it seems exactly correct. If that's the case, it's the only food that is not suspicious in one way or another, whether it be the bread with the nails in it, the marmalade with the thumbtacks. This one never appeared to have anything foreign inside it at all. It was always food throughout the film. So, yeah, yeah. Anyway, no baby teeth and mud. Poppy seeds and almonds.
All right, here's another Weird House Cinema message. And this one comes to us from Kate. Kate writes in and says, "Dear Robert and Joe, thank you for all your incredible programming. You are my favorite companions for running, and you always make the time fly by, even on days when I don't really want to be slogging up hills. You guys do such a wonderful job of science communication. I wanted to write in to comment on your discussion with David Streepy on The Gate, particularly your comments on the use of problematic language in the film and how that might impact your choice to watch it with kids. I had the experience of showing my kids the 1987 movie Monster Squad."
Oh, I know exactly where this is going. I adore this movie, and man, there is some hate speech in the beginning that makes it real rough. Sorry, I haven't read this in advance. I'm just reacting in real time. Please continue, Rob.
No. I've been in a weird spot with Monster Squad as well, because I fondly remember it from my childhood.
Definitely.
Because the monsters are incredible.
Yes.
It's a kid's, kick butt kind of a movie, so it has that going for it. Mm-hmm. But I've always been hesitant to revisit it, and certainly to view it with my child. Now, I didn't remember the problematic language, but I remembered the plot point about needing a virgin to do something to close or open a gate. And even at the time as a child, I remember finding this weird and had at least plot holes in it, because I'm like, wait, they keep saying that, like, okay, the old man's not a virgin, he can't open it, it has to be the girl. But then it's like, does that mean that all the male children are no longer virgins in this movie? Like, I had questions and had issues with it. I'm like, I don't want to have to explain all this to my son.
And even more so, I would say even more problematic than that, because even Hocus Pocus goes down that route of, virgins being necessary for things to work with magic spells. My other least favorite part about this, from just, a modern sensibility, and I'm an adult, so I can look at this with adult eyes, is there's a lot of peeping on a woman while she is not consenting to be peeped upon, with photos being taken of her and stuff. Not cool,
Oh, wow. I don't remember that at all from this film.
It was a different time. I get it. But nah, it was wrong then, and it's wrong now. But anyway, back to this message. I can't wait to hear more about the Monster Squad.
Okay. Kate continues. "What I had completely forgotten was the liberal use of hateful language early in the film, particularly the use of homophobic slurs by the bully characters. It was a huge shock while watching, and my kids picked up on my discomfort immediately. I would have preferred they not hear that kind of hateful language. However, we ended up having a very long conversation about words and how some words take on a broader and more harmful meaning than mere insults. We also talked about how the world I grew up in was more open in using those words, but they are still wielded as weapons now, and that it does real damage to people. Overall, it ended up being an opportunity to talk with them about these issues, and the movie provided a context for them to understand. My oldest even referenced our Monster Squad discussion when he found my copy of Huckleberry Finn, and I told him why I had very mixed feelings about him reading it. I wanted to share my experience for any other parents who might show their kids a movie from their 80s childhood and that they did not expect to contain casual hate and words they don't want their children to hear. I would not have done it on purpose, but it can be a chance for a real talk about the power and gravity of hateful words. Thanks so much for all you guys do. Cheers, Kate.
I think that's a wonderful, wonderful sentiment. And I'm really grateful that you did that with your kids. I think communication with children is an overlooked art form. So I really appreciate that you did that. And also, I do think it also opens up the world to a broader place that once a child does understand the difference between something that happened in the past and something that happened today, not only can they now hopefully enjoy a broader range of entertainments, like, for example, watching like old Looney Tunes shorts and stuff like that. But in addition to that, I think it's really, really helpful for thinking about the things we do today, thinking about it from a future perspective and going, hey, in the future, what am I doing right now that I will probably regret? What words should I stop using? What attitudes should I please drop? You know? So I think that is very valuable, Kate. So way to go with that. And also, I know how important it is to find really good podcast listening for jogging. So I'm glad we can provide that for you. It's a it's a balancing act. It's got to be interesting, but it can't be too interesting. You know, it's got to be like just right, you know? So yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah. These are all great points. I know also racial stereotypes are something that also comes up in a lot of films from yesteryear. And those two will jump out when you least expect them. And I have found that to be an opportunity for my wife and I to discuss those things with our son. Oh, and by the way, Kate also suggested that Joe and I return to the topic of the electric microbe land episode. Apparently, there have been some more recent studies that have come out that suggest that there might be more that we need to discuss in the future. So I appreciate that. Obviously, anytime you're out there and you hear of new studies, new findings, new angles on things that we've discussed in the past on the show that could be explored in the future, yeah, shoot them our way. We'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. We've got one more message. This is from Adam. It says, hey all, quick suggestion on some films that I've seen on the Mission Channel on my Vizio's TV's Watch Free app. I don't think I know what that is. Do you know what a Mission Channel is?
My understanding, mostly from being in like Airbnb houses, is that some of these modern TVs have like their own little, you know, they have the little apps for the different viewing services, and some of them have, it seems like there are a number of different services that maybe have more or less the same assortment of films that they offer up for, I think, usually quote unquote free. So it's usually advertising supported.
I get that. Yeah. My TV has something like that, just like a random movie channel that forces itself on me as often as it can. It's almost always showing Father Goose. Okay. I got that. So from Adam, these are the suggestions that Adam is making. Black Star, Saturn 3, and if I remember correctly, Adam also wrote in and suggested Ice Pirates a while ago. And Adam ends with, I'll probably return with more. So yeah.
I don't know what Black Star film they're referring to here. I know there's like Black Star and the Golden Bat from 1979. There are some other films that have the title Black Star, but I'm not sure what this is a reference to.
One thing I love, and thank you, Adam, for writing in with these suggestions. I mean, one thing I love about Weird House Cinema is how easy it is to find movies to do in Weird House Cinema. Like, it's just a never-ending list. Like, should we kind of spill the beans a bit about the next episode that we're doing? Would you be okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. It gives people a chance to watch it ahead of time if they want.
Yeah. So this is for this upcoming Friday. I will be the co-host again. And Rob was saying to me, hey, I'm kind of in the mood for like a 70s, 80s fantasy, science fiction-y kind of animated film. Since Rob knows my background and love for animation, then, you know, I'm like, oh, I'll happily oblige with that. So mm-hmm. I sent four examples in, and one of them is this wonderful, wonderful film from Eastern Europe called The Treasure Planet. Not the Disney one. Mm-hmm. This one's from 1982. It's called The Treasure Planet. So good. You can find the whole thing on YouTube very easily. If y'all didn't know, Bryan Cranston, before he was famous, used to use a fake name and just make money by doing anime voiceovers and just various dubbing. He is the star of this film, a very young Bryan Cranston, so that's a lot of fun, but also just some of the greatest animation. I also brought up the 1971 film The Point, which is great. It stars Bobby Brady from the Brady Bunch and Ringo Starr, and it's made by Fred Wolf, the guy that made that one, two, a three, Tootsie Roll Pop commercial.
Yes.
In addition to being instrumental in the creation of the studio that brought us the Ninja Turtles animated series. And then another option that I really hope you do someday, it's high fantasy Santa Claus mythology from L. Frank Baum called The Life and Adventures of Santa Claus. It's a stop motion extravaganza. It is so strange. It's all about... basically a demigod finding this abandoned baby, and so all of the gods need to come together and have a meeting about whether or not they can turn Santa Claus immortal, whether or not that's allowed based on the tasks that this human Santa Claus has done in its life. And it's a trip. It's Rankin Bass, it's stop motion, it's beautiful. But then the one we settled on, because coincidentally, other than my suggesting it, you told me you had just looked up the trailer recently. It's another Rankin Bass, 2D animated, The Flight of Dragons. That will be this Friday's movie.
Yes, I am excited to talk about this one. I watched it the other evening with my son, and yeah, we both really enjoyed it. I thought it held up really well. Its message is ultimately just as important today as it was back then. So that'll be a fun one to discuss. And it is it's easy to find. You can, I think we ended up doing a digital rental on it. So if you want to be right there at the cutting edge as we publish this episode, then you can watch ahead of time. You should be able to find it anywhere you get your digital movies.
And if you're a physical media person, I know I bought my DVD off of the Warner Archives collection. Have you ever bought anything from the Warner Archives before, Rob?
I don't think I think I may have rented something that was part of that collection, but I don't think I own it.
It's so cool. Warner Brothers does this thing where basically they have obviously Warner Brothers has an enormous back catalog, not only with the movies that they own, but a bunch of movies that, you know, they've bought a company and now they own that whole catalog as well. Like think about like, you know, the whole Hanna-Barbera back catalog, stuff like that. So what they'll do is for all of the properties that are kind of popular, but not popular enough for them to print 500,000 copies of, what they'll do is they'll just have it on demand. You can order one copy. They'll burn it for you, put it in like a printer, you know, piece of paper in like a plastic box and just ship it to you. It's like the cheapest, flimsiest physical media you can buy, but you can buy it. And that's the important part. And that's how I got the Flight of Dragons.
Oh, wow. Yeah, as far as I know, that's not one that has had a like robust physical release, but it deserves one.
Yeah, it's a great one, and I recommend people watch it, and we'll be talking more about it this Friday.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and close it out there, but keep the listener mail coming. If you have any thoughts about the episodes that have published recently, thoughts about episodes that should publish in the future, everything's fair game. Let's see what's going on. What have you got going on with Rusty Needles Record Club?
Let's see here. We just wrapped up a month of requests, and I believe by the time this episode comes out, we may be just starting our full December of holiday albums. So, I guess I'll say it in case no one's heard. I host a podcast called Rusty Needles Record Club. Find it wherever you find podcasts. You know, it's a book club, but for music instead. That's what we say. And if you're just looking for some good music conversation or some good music recommendations, hop on by. We'd love to have you.
All right. And reminder to everyone that Listener Mail publishes in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind podcast feed every Monday, core episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, short form Artifact or Monster Fact on Wednesdays, and on Fridays, Weird House Cinema. Thanks again to Seth for producing the show and, of course, co-hosting this episode. And if you want to get in touch with us, well, just email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.